Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, me and my fourth form chums think it would be quite corking if you'd sign over your oil well to the local energy concern.
Mr. Burns.
Bah!
It was naive of you to think I would mistake this town's most prominent 104-year-old man for one of my elementary school students.
I want that oil well. I've got a monopoly to maintain. I own the electric company and the waterworks, plus the hotel on Baltic Avenue.
That hotel's a dump and your monopoly is pathetic.
So the Cropod, the show, like a VAR review at Time Castle, just here to ruin the lives. Joining me, of course, Shane, David Egger. Hi, David.
Hi, Shane. Hi, Todd. Hi, listeners. Nice to be back here again on the show that is about nothing. And maybe that should be the tagline, the Cropod. It defies explanation.
We are the Seinfeld of Rangers podcasts.
Except we're good.
I think it's the show about it's the Rangers podcast. It's not about Rangers unless we actually talk about Rangers. So yeah,
which nobody's in the mood to do.
Hi.
I mean, you know, look, the thing, we came out of the weekend kind of in the same. So we still need 24 points from these last 27, regardless.
Yeah.
So there we go.
We're 1 week closer to it. No worse off, and it's the old gambler's thing, isn't it? You know that sometimes when you win a bet and you know, yay, my bet came up, and then you think, why didn't I put on more money?
Oh, you know?
And it's that was a bit of the weekend, so it was kind of like, well, oof, we got away with one, and then you're like, but if we'd won on Saturday. But
that was me on Sunday morning, because I normally like to throw a little flutter on them not making it. And then sure as shit.
Yeah,
like the phone lights up from every contact that you have that's Rangers bench. It's like, hey, look what happens. Like, what, motherfucker?
You know, the thing of it is, though, I think all of us could have and probably reasonably did expect them to drop points again at the weekend, given, you know, they're horrible and Hearts have, well, played better than them since Phil got here, at least.
Yeah, but they always win at Tyne Castle. It's like,
it's
inevitable. It's one of those things in Scottish football that people think, oh, that's a tough game for them, and it never is. So I was quite surprised, to be honest. Also, Hearts, you know.
Well, especially after we lost, you know, we immediately go to the bomb scare mentality.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it was so funny, like, two feeds I'm in from the two supporters clubs here are both like, doom and gloom, that's the league, forget it, we're done, we're finished, you know, next year, burn everything. And then we woke up on Sunday, went, no, let's go to brunch.
Yeah, that's the thing, right, about I huff on the night of a game like Saturday, right? And I didn't even watch Match of the Day, which, as you guys know, that Match of the Day to me is sacred, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's my holy
place. By the way, before you get into that, how was the Chinese and rattling on Saturday?
Oh, there was neither Chinese nor rattling. There was just I was actually sitting on my couch in my room, right? And I thought I should order some food. No, no, I can't even be bothered eating. You know, that's how huffy I was.
I mean, I took it to the next level. I was in such a shitty mood. I went to work in the kitchen. I was so pissed off.
You were still, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was apparently, yeah. I don't do anything, right?
I clean the house, top to bottom.
Body from myself.
Yeah.
I don't do anything mental like that. But yeah,
Well, wife was coming back from vacation, so
But yeah, and then you know you perk up a bit. I did have to say, I absolutely loved Brendan Rodgers' interview where he said, "You know me, I don't talk about referees." Now, anyone who tells you that they don't do
sorry,
something...
that was my nose.
Yes. Anyone who tells you that... Anyone who says, along the lines of anything, "Now, you know me, I never do, but I'm not but..."
This is the at the end of the show. "I got one for your skits. Now, I'm not racist, but..."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You're not the same Brendan Rodgers who was like literally out threatening Don Robertson's career, which surprisingly wasn't really bitching about Don Robertson after the weekend, given, you know, he was the official that kind of changed everything for them.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why he stuck with John Beaton instead of going after Don Robertson again.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes, it's hard to fathom this, isn't it? But yes. Look, this is, as you say, they're not very good. We are down to about 8 fit players and just a pickup team, basically. As Phil's walking in through the car park at Ibrox now, he's grabbing randoms and going, "Could you sit on the bench today?" It's that bad for us with injuries. But we'll just, you know, toddle along and keep doing
it. Well, I think the thing too, you know, it was my... I thought a fairly measured response after the match on Saturday that all the problems that we've had under Phil is what we had them all, you know, on Saturday, right? They all featured throughout the night. We couldn't finish and we're still prone to just absolute fright, you know, just pure fest at moments with our center backs. And, you know, and look, they just happened to happen in the same game. We lost 2-1.
Yeah, it was a perfect storm. It does. Like, see, I remember actually, my first two games at Ibrox ever as a fan, we lost, right? We lost 3-2 to Dundee United after we were 2-0 up at halftime. We then lost 1-0 to Motherwell, funnily enough, a Ray Farman goal, 1986. Yeah. Fans will remember this. And then I genuinely thought, age 8, I am a jinx. I can't go back, right? the third one was the charm. I was taken to see Rangers play Hearts and we won 3-0 and kept going. So, yeah, look, shit happens. It was really, really disappointing, but you pick yourselves back up. And we've got a cracking big game this week. And you can sometimes think you're the only fan base in the world, but you know, Benfica got gubbed 5-0 from Porto at the weekend.
Yeah.
Which I dare say hasn't left them in a particularly happy.
Well, they kind of played their seaside in that, it looked like, but still, yes.
Right. No, but that's because they've been playing so badly that he's just having to chop and change. And they really hate their manager.
It's a perfect setup for us to have to go to Portugal.
Exactly.
Just go see what you can do, but there's no real pressure on us in this one, and then back to domestic. Yeah. But it's quite interesting. It's like we've only got one league game in the next 3 weeks. It's quite
true.
It's quite odd to get knocked out.
One of the points that came up on Monday, I guess, but Tuesday late yesterday when you were doing the five families, but there's three. Every match now is a cup final, and I kind of agree with that, right? Like so long as we treat every single game that we've got upcoming with the respect that it deserves, and just, you know, when your enemy makes mistakes, don't correct them.
Yeah,
let's continue on. Thank you, Lauchu.
Take Saturday as a little reminder that you know, you can't coast. You've got to go out and do things properly, and then it could end up being, you know, we look back and go, well, it wasn't a disaster. So, look, I think we're all still, let's be honest.
Well, it didn't really change the run. We still need to take 24 of the next 27
exactly.
points.
Exactly.
Yeah. We were going to have to do that anyway. Yeah. So
Saturday was like one of those, like you just show up, you do a guest spot, you absolutely destroy the room, you get off stage, but then you go, was my fly down the entire time? Mm-hmm. And that's why they were laughing. That's why. Well, I mean,
Jerry Sadovitz has been known to get his cock out on a live show.
So right.
Maybe, you know, that's maybe a bit performance art for me, I'll be honest.
Are you sure it was Jerry Sadovitz you were seeing?
Have you ever seen the performance artist Gigi Allen?
Who, no, but I know the name. Why?
You don't want to know. He was a provocative performance artist.
Oh!
Yes.
The guy yes, I've heard of this guy.
Would literally shit on his audience.
Yes!
I take so. No, he was, not. There's also this great thing, right, in literary. I got introduced to this theory. Theories of literature, right? When I was at university, theories. Mm-hmm. And some of them make perfect sense, and some of them are well-renowned academic discussion points and tools for analysing literature, right? All good and proper. But there's always somebody that has to take it too far, isn't there? And you know William Burroughs, who wrote the...
Of course.
Yeah.
Naked Lunch.
Naked Lunch, yeah. Yes. A book which, incidentally, two things, as Nelson told us, are wrong. featuring haven't been so disappointed since To Kill a Mockingbird offered no tips at all on how to kill a mockingbird.
Right. But, it's in the third edition.
Yeah, all right. Appendix B. But when
sorry,
I was
yeah, her family will be releasing that any day now. So
don't yeah, exactly. Yeah. Appendix B. But they introduced it, and it was called the Burroughs Gissen. A guy called Byron Gissen was the other one. And they came up with this. And what their theory was, that what you should do is you should take books and cut up the pages, right? Mm-hmm. And then you threw all the cut-ups into the air, and you assembled them back together, and that would reveal any hidden messages within the text. Now, in reality, what that actually creates is books that it takes a fucking long time to finish.
Yeah. And famously, I believe it's either Urban Myth or it actually happened. That's how he wrote The Naked Lunch. Like, he wrote the thing. And then just...
Sense, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was, I remember getting taught at university, and there's these kind of, you know, professor types, and they're telling you this stuff, and you're like, they can't believe this. You know, they can't believe this is a worthwhile use of their time or my time, because it certainly fucking isn't time I'm going to be spending doing this. But that's academics for you.
Yes. Hey, forgive me, David, I missed dress rehearsal. Do you have a 90s film review this week?
Well, yes, I do.
Good. Okay, so I'll save my thing for after that. Then.
Jesus
there
we Christ.
Go. Yes. Just making sure. Sometimes, you know, you don't know what type of weekend he had until Sunday, where it kind of pivoted a little bit, and you go, oh, you know what? I actually do feel like going through life now. That's fine.
Yeah, okay. If you plotted my weekend on a graph, it would resemble a big U-shape.
Yes.
In terms of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, how the mood went. But
match results are a flat circle.
Yeah, off to Lisbon tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, you know, looking
beautiful city.
That. Oh, mate, as if I'll see any of it. You know me, I'll just fucking hit the
hotel.
And
you're like airport, hotel, stadium, hotel, airport.
Yeah. Yes, Martin said that to me the other week. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "Yeah, I'm quite good. I'm quite cheery." He said, "You know, I was thinking maybe do you want to like head out and do a couple?" And I was like, "No, you're all right, but thank you. Very kind of you to offer." And he said, "David, your life is your couch and the Ibrox press room. It's time for you to go outside and meet people." And I was like, I think I'll just stay the course. You know, I think
this is working. I'm all right.
We had a night out on, and I'm going to test and find out who listens to this show, because I think secretly they all do, because they know this is the one I'm the most honest on. This is the show the listeners get the real David. I love you all, but see the other shows, that's a nice, calm, polished. This is me. This is the arsehole.
Yeah, sometimes calm. Yes.
I get to be me on this show, because my two pals who know know me really fucking well and would call me out if I spoke any bullshit. So I get right. But a few weeks ago, Cammy, who loves organising nights out, organised a night out for after the game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, he's like, I know you'll pull out. Cammy's one of these people that he takes it personally.
Oh, you're not a father, that's why.
Yeah, well, he takes it personally if you don't want to go on a night out, right? And he said, look, I know you're going to pull out of this. I said, no, I'm not going to pull out of this. He said, I know you're going to pull out of this. I said, well, you know, I might pull out of this, but don't worry, if I'm there, I'm there. And he kept saying. So eventually I just thought, you know what? I'm fucking pulling out of this, right? Just because he had wanged on so much about it. The night out could not be as good as the feeling of disappointing him by not going on that night out. There was no night out. We could have had fucking supermodels in Scarface style tables full of cocaine, and we could have had fucking Big Phil telling me, here's a contract to sign next week, and it wouldn't have been as much as satisfying as saying to him, nah, I'm not going. And it was absolutely fucking terrific. It was like
reason for attendance, spite.
Yep, reason for non-attendance.
See, it is the Seinfeld show. Why do you want to return this shirt? Spite?
Spite, yeah.
It reminds me of years ago, I was up in Glasgow, and, you know, they get these people out in the street with their causes, you know, they have their tables and stuff. Sometimes it's politics, sometimes it's protest groups, sometimes, you know, 101 things. So walk by and this person comes up to me and says, excuse me, sir, would you sign this petition? It's anti-animal test and anti-vivisection. I said, yes, certainly, animal lover.
And then I healed it into Five Guys.
Well, yeah. I love eating those animals. So
don't test them.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I was looking at, and this is the thing, right? See, if it's anti-animal testing for cosmetics, I am totally on board with that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's no need for it. Let's not do that. But this was the whole thing. This was like, you know, diseases and stuff.
Yeah.
I said, listen, mate, I'm not signing that. I said, because... you know, and he was like, but the animal stuff. I said, I know, but if you've ever had, you know, a loved one or a relative, or you know someone who has gone through a terminal serious illness that we might be able to stop, and he got a bit antsy. So I said, listen, mate, I'll put it another way. I would kill every single animal in existence if I thought it would A, help your cancer, or B, be a bit of a laugh. Well, he lost his shit, it's fair to say that.
I believe that was Samuel L. Jackson's monologue in Deep Blue Sea, just before he got eaten by the Alzheimer's shark.
Yeah. Sharks on a motherfucking sea. you could actually just get Samuel L. Jackson. There could be a whole genre of films where Samuel L. Jackson refers to things that are somewhere they might not normally be, right? So you could have like Samuel L. Jackson walking down the street going, elephants in a chemist. And there's a movie right there. You know? Or Samuel L. Jackson, he could walk in and he go, eggs in a jeweler's.
Yeah.
And these are people would watch this.
I love that movie was spawned from a message board.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that, and that's where, as shitty as society is, and you open up the papers and it's just, oh, what now? There's just the pure joy of a bunch of people getting together on the internet and stunt casting a fake movie, and then a studio going, hang on.
We'll make this.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
The other side of that, though, is the internet's ability. There's all the things the internet can do, and all the thing that it's brought us. And there's
also Milkshake Duck, right? So, yeah. Well,
there's positives and there's negatives that the internet has brought us. But I think we've seen this with the Willy Wonka thing, you know, the magical experience. When this came out, It was fucking great. It was hilarious. Yes. And the whole world caught on to this. And mm-hmm. it was so funny for about mm-hmm. 4 days when the internet then completely kicked the fucking arse yep. out of it.
Yep.
And here we yep. are now, 3 weeks later, and there's a thing today that's saying, oh, you know, people are bidding to buy props from it, and it's mm-hmm. well over $1,000. And it's like, guys, it's gone. It's dead.
Can I, any of the let lessons. It go. Can I just say, I will say this. I'm gonna you know, fly my flag up this mast. One of our listeners sent in the Willy Wonka Experience Glasgow T-shirt, and guess who has one shuttling to his house as we speak right now.
When did you order it?
Like 2 days ago.
Now, I'll let you at that just before the cutoff point for yeah. okay, not. But it, the internet.
I believe these are fixtures. Like, this is just like this is like an well, artist not, went. The, oh, I've got to do that.
You mean they're not an official product? That's
sure. No, they're not an official product. No, absolutely not. This is it's like basically like an Etsy store, and someone went, "Oh, let's make the Willy Wonka Experience Glasgow." It's like, fuck me, I'm getting one of those purple tea. Absolutely, give it
Mike
to me.
The Mike Ashley League Cup T-shirt.
Yes, that was the post that you liked where it was just like Spanky from Little Rascals throwing money out the window. Like that's what I wanted. So.
Yes. I will
post photos of when the shirt arrives, listeners. So keep an eye out on Hey It's TV.
I have an aversion to amusing T-shirts, unfortunately.
What?
I see amusing comedy T-shirts are generally, and don't take this the wrong way, Todd. Or take it the wrong way if you want, because I'm basically calling you a dick.
Yeah. By the way, I wore my Move and Fire shirt yesterday, so I'm well up for this.
You are one step away, my friend, from a female body inspector's T-shirt, because this is the
okay. So don't wear that when we go to
don't wear it. You know, what's that? You see this a lot. In the US, unfortunately. If found, please return to the bar. That's hilarious, mate. You are so fucking funny.
So to be fair, you're absolutely right. It is one step away. It's the same step away from Bert Kreischer and Kyle Kinane. Both are technically comedy, right? one is funny. Good, and the other doesn't have a female body inspector T-shirt on. That's the difference.
So. I always say when it comes to things like that, it can be a very thin line. And I actually came up with my own metaphor for it, right? Mm-hmm. About being just this far away. And it was, you know, when we talk about a player and we're saying he's got so much, he's just this close away. It's just a tiny wee part. And my metaphor, which I thought was good, but my God, was it howled down by the audience, was
okay.
Christopher Reeve was only one vertebrae away from being able to walk. Right? But one tiny thing not working can screw up a whole machine. Fucking hell. I mean, the fondness for Christopher Reeve these days is still, let me tell you that. You know, Jesus.
To imagine, David. Right.
Oh, my God. It wasn't a criticism of him. I was merely pointing out a fact.
It kind of comes off that way. What if you had one more vertebrae?
No, he had the vertebrae. It just didn't work anymore. It wouldn't transmit the neurological things that were needed for the bottom half to work, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just one tiny body part that didn't work, and it screwed up the whole machine. So I actually think that, and actually looking back, I'm very proud of myself. I think that one stands. That should be that should be a thing. Oh, yeah, and it's not like he's going to mind, is it?
Well, not now.
No.
That's true of people right now.
I mean, maybe we have a soul trapped in like a crystal you can put into something and still come back and talk. But
it's the Futurama head jars.
That too.
Which and I'm looking forward to the Beastie Boys reunion, to be quite honest.
No, you can't go wrong with that. I had a little bit on the Daily Update today. I had a little bit of, I thought, right, we'll mix things up a little bit. So I put on a bit of Rage Against the Machine. I forgot how angry they were. They were always angry, weren't they, Rage Against the Machine?
Very upset.
Well, yeah. It is in the name.
What had that machine done? And what, right. They never identified, was it some sort of washing machine or was it perhaps a melon baller, an electric can opener? They never.
If you've ever had a jam toaster, it is probably that.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense. Or perhaps like, you know, when you buy a brand new vacuum and it's a super duper fucking, this is the fucking vacuum. This is a beast of a vacuum. And after
I can't get the scrape of paper off the rug.
Over two the goes and yep. It's taking fucking nothing off the floor. And you're
I think I have it. I think this was from the same timeline around the same area when they were trying to pitch names. And it's summed up in this moment. PC load letter. What the fuck does that mean?
Yes.
No. I had that fun thing this morning where I go to check in online. Now this you would think is a fairly straightforward thing, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Could you add this? Add it. You have not added this. I have. There it's there. Could you? No. I have added it. That's it. See that? That's it. Are you sure? Trust me on this. I have added the thing you have asked me to do. We do not have your passport details. I've put my your fucking email came to me, contained my passport details. What the fuck more do you want from me, bastards?
Every time we go to the airport, I have in advance put all my passport information on the airline stuff. So whenever we're checking into the kiosk, oh, Todd, you're here. Welcome. Right. And meanwhile, my wife, every time she's like, how come it doesn't need yours? Like, because I already did mine. That's already, you could do the same. It's like, okay, I'll do it later. She never does it. And then we get to the airport again. How come you? Okay. By the way, that's not an impression of my wife.
Than you anyway?
She does.
Yeah. Jesus.
Sounded like you were doing an impression of your wife, Todd. I know you've tried to get yourself out of that immediately.
This is one of my favorite jokes of all time. I wish I could credit the comic who does it. You guys like impressions? Okay. This is an impression of my girlfriend. Here we go.
I don't sound like that.
Oh my God. Yes. Every man listening to this is going, you know? Sorry, ladies, but yeah.
I wish I could credit who that is. I've been sitting on that for a year. I think about it at least once a month.
I heard a great, you know, normally I can't remember who told it, but this is a fucking fantastic joke. I heard a comedian. I only saw it in a clip and didn't pay enough attention, but it really tickled me. It was the guy on stage. He said, I have three children. And of course, Todd, the audience go, oh, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, yep, 11, 9, and 5. Looking back, we should have given them proper names.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
It was so simple, so well constructed.
Joke.
Isn't it? It works on every level.
That is one of those ones where you stand at the back of the room, you're watching the guy, and in every comment goes, fuck!
How did we miss it? Yep,
stepped over it to get into the room.
It's one of those ones that you think, someone must have come up. I've never heard it, but someone mm-hmm. must have come up with it previously. And of course, they hadn't. And it was just, I thought, yeah, that. And the good thing is, listeners, if you've got kids, you can use this one.
Yes. I'm sure all you can take say, notes. You know,
I've got two kids, 6 and 4. Should have given them proper names, really. And people will think you're hilarious because that is a hilarious joke. Mm-hmm. See, this show is educational as well as entertaining.
Right. Credit the comic, though. I insist that you find out who it is and credit the comic because a buddy of mine.
I've Googled it and I don't like the comics, so I don't want to credit him. So fuck.
Oh, okay. Well, if he's an asshole, then that's fine.
I don't think he's an asshole. I just don't like him. So I invented that joke.
Okay. a buddy of mine. I was working with him, and he's like one of the original stand up comics from Canada. He was one of the kind of like the founding comics of the club scene in the 70s when there was just Yuck Yucks and there was, you know, I think two, and then it became the franchise that it was in the comedy boom of the 80s. Guy's name is Simon B. Cotter. I was doing a show with him in some small town in Ontario, and I am at the back of the room and I see him break into this joke, which is, you know, when I die, I want to, you know, die peacefully in my sleep, like my grandfather, not screaming like the passengers in his car. And that is on posters and t-shirts. And I went, holy fuck, he's doing like a street joke. It's not even a street joke. It's like you just see it on t-shirts and shit and like, you know, beer koozies. It's a phrase. And so we're driving home. He's giving me a lift back as we're coming back to town. I said, I gotta say, like the joke about dying in your sleep. He goes, yeah. And he's immediately got angry. I was like, okay, what's going on? He goes, that's my fucking joke. He actually was the one that wrote it back in the 70s. And then people saw it and went, oh, that's it. Now, whether he had overlap, because there is overlapping material that you can have. But at that point, he, because he's got the records of it, of like the way back when, like that was him. So I was like, and it's easy enough for someone, and even if it wasn't, it's easy enough for someone to go into a comedy club and go, oh, that's clever, put it on a t-shirt and then make money and take money away from the artist. That's shitty. So whether it's his or not, the story is the same.
Well,
the
only reason I would say that is it was that joke was over here anyway, attributed to the legendary British comedian Bob Monkhouse, who famously had this book, and he wasn't known for stealing jokes, so I don't know. Jimmy Carr had a version of that as well. That was quite funny when he said, "You know, I look back on my granddad, and you know, I really want to be like him. I was so proud of what he did when the time came in the war when you had to pick a side, and he flew that Messerschmitt absolutely perfectly throughout the war." Which is obviously just, you know, it's a derivation of
right,
you know, but there, all that left.
There was that moment in like it was radio that changed everything for comics. There's the original book that Cliff Nesteroff wrote called The Comedians is like a history of stand-up comedy and comedy in general. The turning point was radio and television, because before that it was just vaudeville. And comics would just tour these places and everyone used the same material.
Yeah.
It was common. You just had this set of jokes and you did it. But this was strictly in the vaudeville theaters, right? Which, you know, you wouldn't see that frequently. And like, you know, it was only the audiences who were in front of them. When radio happened and then Bob Hope steps up and starts telling jokes, he's using the vaudeville jokes. So now the world has heard them and every vaudeville comic is going, the fuck? And now everyone needed to start writing jokes, which was horrible for the community.
So. Oh yeah, I mean, you have a good act and you act like that. It's actually quite interesting because you know, the aforementioned side of it, it's not only does he not release albums, he doesn't. If you try to put a clip of his up on YouTube, he will have it taken down.
Oh yeah, you can't find him online.
He's not online at all. Because you have to go and see him. That's the whole, that's where he makes his money. He doesn't do albums. He doesn't do, if you wish to see his set, you will have to go and do it. And it's exactly that. It's because of having to come up with like a, you know, otherwise he's going to have to come up with a new set sort of, because he tours constantly. Mm-hmm. And as he says, his set needs to last generally about a couple of years. And then, and I suppose the other side of that is, you know, sometimes when you go to see a comic and you want to hear a specific joke, almost like it's like a band.
Yes.
I've never really been into
Hot
that.
Pockets!
Yeah. I've never really been into that. Will you tell the joke? I'd rather just have a kind of fresh material each time.
Jokes are supposed to surprise you.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Music. I mean, even when you go and see a band, if you know, they'll generally mix it up a bit, won't they? You know, there'll be a wee extra flourish here and a maybe, you know,
like set list. Things
get mixed about a little bit, so it's about being, you know, there and in the room.
Comedy is about surprise and music is about nostalgia.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You know, this song takes me to this part. I know every word in it. I can't wait to sing along with the band or see how they play it this time. Yeah. That's the difference. Yeah.
No, that's exactly it. And I think that, you know, you can, I don't know. I think you'd just be missing a point a little bit. So similarly with like catchphrase comedy, I'm a little bit, I think it can work in a sitcom. I don't think it works in a live setting. I remember Vic Reeves.
Get her done.
Well, Vic Reeves, and when him and Bob first came out at Vic Reeves' Big Night, they had a catchphrase which was, Vic would go, "You wouldn't let it lie," right? Mm-hmm. And he stopped using it after a couple of years because he said on the tour, he goes, it didn't matter what we were doing. They were all just sitting, you know, you could see it in their face, sitting there expectantly. And he goes, and Bob would look at me and he's like, "You're not going to say it, are you?" He's like, "I'll say it, but, you know, and in the
end,
I didn't do it." And in the end, he said he would just come out and say it within the first 2 minutes of the show to get it out the fucking way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the next series, and there was some kickback from fans. They were like, "Oh, why have you dropped this?" And he's like, "Because it's not funny anymore." And I thought, yeah, it's pretty brave. Rather than just market the shit out of it and, you know, keep going. But, it's like going to see Monty Python in the 70s, you know, and do the parrot sketch. It's like, really? Mm-hmm. You know, you've seen that. But
yeah. But that's, I think we've kind of strayed away from it. Like when you think back of like sketch comedy, SNL certainly did this for sure. There was always like the catchphrase stuff, like, you know, and like even Seinfeld,
bag of
the soup
broken
Nazi.
Glass.
Yeah, you know, no soup for you, or isn't that special? Said the church lady. Like we've gotten away from, and I think that was a pocket in time, and now like it, you know, the. You might be a redneck, I think, is probably the last time that we saw that. Sort of like the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, I think, was kind of like the death knell of that. And now we've kind of moved on to, you got any words that I don't know?
Yeah.
How about that?
It's financially, I'm sure, rewarding because, you know, you don't need to think much. You just come out and build up and do that. B, you can sell, as you said, T-shirts and books based on it. So I think, as I say, what's in a sitcom? I think, I can understand that, right? It's one line in a half hour. I get it. That's no problem.
Right.
It's just a little thing between the character and the audience. Mm-hmm. But if it's, you know, it's just personal taste, I suppose.
One thing I do respect Jeff Foxworthy for in the "You Might Be a Redneck" stuff is that when he started constructing those jokes, and they're brilliantly written, like, you know, whether you like them or not, I'm not a huge fan of Foxworthy or the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, but those jokes are solid. Like you can't deny that they are. He got successive notes from his peers that said, you know what you should do? Cause what you're doing is you're saying the punchline first and then the setup. You should change it around. So what they were suggesting is that they start everything with "you might be a redneck if," and then the punchline, as opposed to it being the button on the joke, which is what Jeff was doing. And he saw that. And I was like, now that's where that comedy is. That's where that lies. It's like you do the spill, you let the crowd get it out of there. And it's like, you might be a redneck.
Yeah.
Because then that moment becomes like when you say banana 45 times in a row.
Yeah,
and it's just he's gonna say it, and it gets funnier and funnier and funnier as it goes along.
Yeah.
Oh,
so hold on. If surprise is comedy, is that like why the Supreme Court over here is that what they're going for now?
Surprise! Nothing matters anymore. Surprise!
Why were you surprised? I mean, surely.
Well, I guess I it's not the surprise. It's the I guess I'm not really surprised at any of it. One was the 14th Amendment, which they just don't care about at all anyway.
Right.
Easy. Well, there is still some surprise in how they go about it because, you know, I mean, part of their thing for not, you know, letting Colorado kick Trump off the ballot, if anybody wasn't paying attention, they said that since no states had previously disqualified any candidates for federal office using the 14th Amendment, that means that they probably can't, which, right. You know, I might maybe say that we hadn't had a sitting president try to start an insurrection against the federal government.
True.
Since, you know, 1861. So like, yeah, it hasn't really come up since the 14th Amendment went into practice.
The it must be easy to do political commentary in your country right now. And
well, I mean, John Stewart's back, so yeah.
Well, yeah, so like basically all you have to do is look at any sort of decision before a court, and then you just stare at the, like, kind of put your feet up on the desk, stare up at the ceiling for a bit, and just go, what would the worst take be? Yeah. And then just write that. That's what it is.
That, yeah, well, yeah, I'm surprised you're surprised. Because sure.
I'm not surprised. I don't know. It's...
thought it was a I try not to be,
but it's so, you know, like, again, like taking this case, like the 14th Amendment was part of how they overturned Roe v. Wade, right? Mm-hmm. They said that because, you know, no state had banned all abortions, that didn't mean states lacked the authority to do so. But now they're saying the court says because no state has ever banned an insurrectionist from holding office, that means that they mm-hmm. can't. It's like you're literally right. The exact same text of the exact same amendment means two completely divergent things, mm-hmm. depending on, of course, you know, does it help the Republican Party advance its interests?
So you start from the outcome that you want and you work back.
Yes,
I've said it for years. You guys were really unlucky. I wasn't about in the early 1800s. See, if I'd been about, I could have told you at that whole Marbury decision back in the early 19th century, you're giving this court too much power. It's unelected.
It's going to come back to bite you in the ass.
It's going to come back to bite mm-hmm. you in the ass. Say what you like about Britain. We elect the people who fuck things up over here, right? Yeah. We have a stake in
you,
it.
You do okay, it very well.
They are facile, stuffed, you know, basically this sort of human-shaped thing in a suit, right, our politicians mm-hmm. in the UK. But God damn it, right, it was us who put them there. As the wonderful comedian Boothby Griffaux said in his great song, there's fuck all you can do, which I think if you're searching for it, it's just the initials so that it can get up on YouTube and stuff. Mm-hmm. But as he said, we make the law, we break the law, we're what you fucking voted for, and that is it. We can't
David, it's part of the problem with the court, though, right? Because, like, Republicans have, in my lifetime, right, Republicans have won a majority, I think, in two presidential elections now.
Yeah.
And yet they have 6 of the 9 seats on the Supreme Court, you mm-hmm. know? So, like, you can't tell people to go, if you don't like what the judges are doing, go vote for people that will put in judges. Well, we do all the time. They've just figured out a way. You know, once the Republicans started losing elections, they're like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, well, then here's what we got to do something with the one thing that, you know, we can just throw people in and then they're there for life. Then nothing. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Fuck.
It's quite odd, really, isn't it?
No, it's just bad.
It's quite odd. No, I think it's quite admirable. I mean, they just wanted it a bit more. It's like those dolphins. They just wanted it a bit more.
They just wanted a bit more.
They just wanted it a bit more. And you know, this is... trust the Democrats to let the Spanish back into the pantry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fucking hell.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, let's just take the break. We'll come back and have some fun and talk about movies.
Yeah, let's do it.
Quick break, right back.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to part 2 of the Crow Pod here. Of course, always go check our friends at famousheadwear.co.uk, blueroomart.co.uk. Get all your very, very, very fine stuff from them. And if you need to be rubbed in ways that other people in your life just can't do for you, of course, our friend Mark Boyd there at Recovery and Repair Massage Therapy in East Kilbride will be happy to do so, and my God, would he be happy to do so. Ooh.
Yes. Oh. I'll level with you. I'm this close to booking a flight to East Kilbride.
Yep. Place your hands on my lower back, and he'll make shaming. Right.
Honestly, I used to go to a guy who was like the he was the guy for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh boy! Okay.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's pure pain for like the hour that you're in there, but then after you're like, everything moves again.
Right.
What the
hell? It's when they have to do the fake on you. It's like, okay, this is going to twitch a little bit on three. One, snap. Ah!
Like, whenever a doctor says this might hurt a little bit, then he's a fucking liar because it is going to hurt and it's going to hurt a lot. And he knows this. So, you know, set the expectations a bit better. Say this kind of hurt like shit, by the way. But yeah, whenever a doctor says that, this might hurt a little bit.
I miss my doctor in Toronto. She was absolutely amazing. This little British woman who is just like straight up, straight dope, perfect. Like, she's retired now. But she was like when I had to do, you know, when you get to the tender age of having cameras go into you while you sleep. And by the way, never shows up on my IMDb ever. By the way, a quick update before I get into the final on this one. I have long said, hey, if you ever want to see what the number one looks like, look at my IMDb page. It's now miraculously 2. Because a podcast I was on is now SAG-AFTRA, and so it got boop. I got bumped in, so I have now overnight doing. No, I got nothing. I got double the entries on my page.
Double the entries, no scale.
No answer. Now, speaking of entries, my colonoscopy. as my first one I ever did, she's like, "You've never had one before." It's like, "No, obviously not." She's like, "Okay." And she looks at her, she's filling it in. She's like, you are going to hate the buildup. You will love the procedure. I was like, okay. And she was absolutely right. The buildup to it the week before, you got to watch your diet. You can't have high fiber stuff. The night before, you're taking this elixir that they completely, they undersell what it does a lot.
You're lucky to have a bowel after that stuff. It's basically like it's bleach for the inside.
It's like a gallon of castor oil.
It says to everything in your body, I know a shortcut. Yeah. And goes. So she was right. And you're tired and I can't do anything. And it's like, I was scheduled originally for like 9 a.m. And it got after delay. It's like 2 in the afternoon. And, you know, I can't eat anything. I can't drink anything. Can't have an ice cube or anything because that fucks it up apparently. So I get wheeled in and I'm, you know, as much as a bad mood I'm in, I'm still a comic. So, you know, the doctor goes, hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so.
Somebody's still shoving something up your ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm going to make a gag, right? And so I'm looking at the doctor and he's like, hi, okay, Mr. Van Allen, you're here for a colonoscopy. And I go, what? And I make to go out of the bed and he's like, ha ha, lie down. So I'm like, okay. Okay, he's heard that one. He's heard them all. I gotta bring a material somehow. So they put in the IV for the sedative. It's like, hey, now I want you to count back from 10. And I'm gonna go, okay. And like, scoot your knees up, lie on your side. It's like, okay, got it. And I go 10, 9, 8. And just before I feel it kind of grabbing me and pulling me under. Yeah. I look over my shoulder and I say to the doctor, you cleaned that thing, right? And he goes, ha ha. And I'm a down, I am out. And it's like, oh my God, I just killed it. My colonoscopy. And she was absolutely right. It's like, I would do that sleep every fucking day. Oh, I would do that. Oh, it was the best sleep I've ever had. Oh my God. It was just,
It sort of needs to be as someone is driving a large metal thing right up your
taxi. Yes. Oh, but I don't care. Nap.
Just the whole unpleasantness around that would be sort of, oh my God. You know these people that get enemas, like, deliberately. It's like, what the fuck are you about? Right, you know, who thinks themselves, yeah, I'll do this weekend. I'll go right. and I'll get somebody to pour hot water right up my asshole.
Yeah. The same friends are like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? You want to do some Epicac? Come
I'm on, having no. a, I'm having a cleanse. But that to me means, that to me means I'm going for a bath. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what that right. means. It doesn't mean that anyone.
Or maybe you know, I'm going to eat a bit more yogurt for the next couple of weeks. Something like that. Like I'm not. Not flushing something yeah. up
yes.
there.
Yes. The only right. time, luckily, I've never had the full camera, but I did have one where a doctor did the. When you turn 40, you get the Wellman prostate check, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
in Scotland. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's fine.
You get it. So I went in, and the doctor says, right, you know what, you're an intelligent guy, you know what this is. I said, yeah, no bother. And I sort of just, I won't look, and I turn around and I'm looking, and I heard a noise, and I turned around, and it's him taking his watch off and putting it on the table. I was like,
that's a good
far,
joke.
How far that's up is he planning joke. To go? You know, but, you know, common sense, actually, if I was going to, I'd be taking my watch off, I'd be taking sure. my ring off as well, right?
Just in case something happens, something yeah, might come out, you know?
Exactly, you know, so I don't blame him. But no, I knew
get a tarp.
I knew that this was coming. So trust me, I was I
well vacated.
You could have eaten your dinner off that. My
if you've ever been to an Applebee's in Niagara Falls, you probably have.
Yes, my happy winking spider was tip top and ready for. He could have graduated.
Brace for it.
Yeah, he could have had his graduation photographs taken in his mortarboard, right. You know, graduating from the University of Plain Arseholes. It would have survived.
I adore. I feel sorry for the guys that are just so pent up homophobic that a medical procedure is.
Why
out
do
of
all
the
these chains keep sucking my dick?
Exactly, exactly. It's like if you can't get a finger up your bum. First of all, what's wrong with you recreationally? And secondly, it's for your own good, you dummy.
well, on that, right? It's all right. For your own good. Do we have any proof of this? Because for all we know, doctors got together and said this would be funny. Right. wouldn't this be funny? Right. And we'll make them all do it and they'll think. But yeah, I don't think it's so much homophobia as I know how much trouble I have sometimes getting things out of there.
Well,
reverse the process seems to be
David, that's part of. Well, I think that kicking drugs probably helped with that. So
yes. And and here's the other thing. There's more greens you can put in your diet than mint jelly with lamb chops.
I don't like mint jelly. It's like chewing. I don't like mint particularly. It's like, you know, why would you not buy juicy fruit?
Love mint. Juicy
fruit is much better. But I try. You guys know that I try so hard, right? But I can't escape. I do. It's not easy being me, right? I try and I can't escape my personality, which at this point is pretty well forged. And I'm approaching 50, and yeah, it kind of seems a bit late for any radical Damascene conversion. This is sort of who I am now. And I'm going to go with it. And I see that what you said there about, you know, just for recreation. That's disgusting. That is.
I'm not saying you don't take steps beforehand. I'm just saying.
That's the fall of civilization to me. It's like, did you learn nothing from the decline of the Roman Empire, right?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't bum sex that put them down.
Andrew Tate has joined the podcast. That's right. Exactly.
I'm not anti-bum sex. If you're into bum sex, knock yourself out. I'm just saying me personally, right?
Right.
My equipment for fun stuff was placed at the front of down there, right?
Well, see, neither of you have had an angiogram, have you?
No,
I've never had this pleasure. No, I'm guessing not. David, even in your worst drug-addled days, no.
Nope.
So what's the angiogram? Remind me.
Angiogram is the one where they inject dye in your bloodstream and take a picture of your heart, right? When I was in the hospital there a few years ago. And now the thing is, if you have them scheduled, you can prepare yourself with one of the fine products that Dave advertises on his show over there.
Yes.
Whereas if you're like me and have just been laid up in the hospital for
the three good
days,
people at the famous.
Yeah. You use one of Graham's sweaters to get it all cleaned up down there.
Put a little hat on it.
Wrap it up in a beach towel. It looks great.
I just love it's like they pull up like the hospital gown and it's like wrapped in a scarf and the doctor just goes very staunch. And
I think if you're a gentleman, what you would do is you would in your purple eye, if you like, stick one of those cocktail umbrellas and just make it seem like a night at a tropical bar. I've got it. See what you should do if you're going to do that. Tie a ribbon on it. And then when they take it, say, happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
You should probably dress up in a club tie if it's a. they take, you know, they gotta get me ready for this thing. I've been laying in a fucking hospital bed for 3 days, right? I haven't showered, which is, I don't like anyway. I'm a daily shower kind of a person, and you know, then the nurses are the ones that have to do the stuff down there to prep it, which is I got to think about other people handling a razor around my
makes sense bits.
And they've got to do both sides too in case they, you know, they can't get a stick, which is unpleasant,
right?
And then you go through the procedure itself, when they put the stuff, you know, it's kind of like when they first start an IV where it's like really, really cold in your arm, except it's like that in your whole body. You can feel this shit coursing through your veins. Yeah. And then you get done and you get back and you realize it looks like Smurfette gave you a fucking blowjob and that dye doesn't get off. It doesn't go away for like 6 weeks. It's like the shit that they use in banks to catch motherfuckers. So you just, it was bad. I mean, when I finally got home, oh god! No, when I finally got home, like I'm sitting there with a fucking loofah, like I'm gouging skin off of my fucking body trying to get rid of this fucking blue dye. It was
At least it was blue, still staunch.
It matched the hat and club tie very well.
The brown brogues on the balls, you know,
it's like a little Mr. Potato Head.
I've heard that people being referred to as blue noses in the past.
Right. Right.
You know, this would maybe.
Blue balls, we've heard for sure.
Yeah.
Blue balls.
I had that going. Yeah.
I just think that there comes a stage where they design medical procedures to be as embarrassing as possible.
Absolutely.
Well, the gown's a dead giveaway.
Oh, what the fuck is all that about exactly? You know, give me a
make a big t-shirt. That's all you got to do.
Baggy pants are a no, right?
You do not need to see my ass, okay? It's private to me. I like it.
Well, from previous episodes, apparently it's something to see, David, so don't go tattletale.
That's fair, actually. Maybe that's why they do it.
It looks like two hairy cantaloupes, but still very nice.
What a bottom that man has, they say. As I sashay and sort of
Todd, Harry Cantaloupe, one of my favorite performers of the 60s. Loved Harry Cantaloupe.
Oh, I love Harry Cantaloupe. I opened up for Billy Squire a while ago.
He was that right winger that was playing for LAFC, isn't he?
That's right.
South American lad.
We should sign him.
Did I ever tell you about the time where the last time I was in hospital, thankfully, I was really, really ill, and there was a lot of swelling in my neck, And what it ended up being was blocked saliva glands. It's quite common, and it's straightforward enough to fix, but it had become infected, and I was really, really ill. And my Sally was out at college, and my parents came up to see me, and they were like, "You're going to the hospital." Of course, being a man, I went, "No, I'm not. I'll be fine." Right? You know, can't move, but no, I'm sure. Right. I'm sure lying here doing nothing will fix this problem. Right. So they took me to the hospital, and the doctor's like, "Right, we need to get you on a drip because obviously you've not been able to eat because your mouth swells, not being able to eat." And so I go in, and my mum says, "I'll phone Sally." She's phoning Sally, but because Sally is one of these people who has a mobile phone and leaves it in her handbag, which is in her locker, which is not with her, thus defeating the entire purpose of having a mobile phone. So Sally gets home and panics that I'm not here, and there's no, you know, I haven't told her anything. So she phones my mum. My mum says, "All right, yeah, he's in the hospital." And Sally panics. She's, "Oh my God, he's in the hospital." And she said, "Right, take him up some stuff because he's going to be in for a couple of days." And the bag that was packed, I have to say, was the fucking most Dada-esque surreal bag of stuff.
Was there a bowler hat and a green apple?
You're not far wrong, right? There's a Blackadder episode where Baldrick is to bring him an escape kit, and he said, "Does it have a gun, a knife, a false passport, a change of clothes?" He's like, "No." He said, "What does it have?" And he opens it up and he says, "A small wooden duck." And he's like, "Yes, in case you need to hide underwater, where you put the duck on your head and people will think it's a duck and they won't look under the water for you." That's what the bag was like. So in it, had she packed a bathrobe? No. Had she packed pajamas? No. Had she packed underwear? Yes, she had.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the underwear she had put, I don't know even where she found this, but it must be underwear I've had since I was like 15, because it's fucking tiny, right?
There's big Superman on the crotch.
Did she bring deodorant? No. Did she bring shower gel? No. She brought two types of toothpaste, though, just in case I didn't like the first one, right? Did she bring slippers? No, but she brought two pairs of trainers. They're going to be a lot of fucking use when I'm in a bed in the hospital, right? Change of clothes, you might think. She brought, I swear to God, she brought a jumper, fair enough, and a pair of suit trousers.
Suit trousers? Well, you want to look your best.
Trousers, yeah. Well, I want to look half my best. So, to leave... to leave the hospital, I have on a woolly jumper, a pair of suit trousers, and trainers, because that's what... I looked like a mentally ill person who has been escorted in at gunpoint by the police before he takes out the town. That's what I was like, are there pajamas in here? No. Did you bring me an iPad so I can read? No. Did you bring me my phone charger? Of course I brought you your phone charger. I pick it up. I was like, this isn't the phone charger. This is the laptop cable.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, oh my God, I don't know how I managed that. I said, well, the clue might have been it was plugged into the laptop.
Right.
So what you've actually done is unplug my laptop cable and brought me that, which is going to be great if I have the laptop, which I'm not even going to ask because you haven't brought it, have you? No. And honestly, it's basically after like a day, I just phoned my mom. I was like, could you please bring up some stuff that a human in hospital might need? Oh my God. Other, like, yeah, she didn't bring my iPad, but she brought books. She went into the fucking bookcase, right? And just lifted random books. And I was like, how long do you think I'm going to be in here for? Right?
I mean, it was the best of times. It was the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Nurse comes in to check the IV. How are you doing? I'm all right. This book still doesn't have anything about killing a mockingbird.
No, exactly. I have learned not to judge a man by the color of his skin right enough, but Still.
So if I want to get rid of these fucking mockingbirds.
And these mockingbirds are, well, they're mocking me, right? And they now know that they can do so. That they can do so with impunity because I have absolutely no way to come back.
They keep flying in with laptop cables. Is this what you're looking for?
I said to her afterwards, I was like, what the fuck prompted that? And she went, well, I was panicking. It made sense. I was like, why the two toothpaste? And she's like, I wasn't sure which one you liked. I went, it's toothpaste.
You know what I mean? I mean, to be fair to Sally in that regard, I can see where she's coming from when it comes to you.
So. I can see love and panic really kind of blending together and getting you this gift bag of nonsense.
The laptop connector was the absolute beat. It's right next to where all the cables, because I've got, you know, one of those plugs with like four charging things in it. So there's an iPad one, an iPhone one. There's the one for my e-cigarette. She didn't bring that either. You name it. If I needed it, I didn't get it. I actually said to her, am I going to go in here and find like an ornament that you've brought to decorate my... have you brought me like figurines of, you know, the dogs and
Snoopy
stuff?
Snoopy in a Subway candle that you can dangle from the light.
Just Hummels everywhere.
Yeah.
Which Funko Pop do you bring him, you know?
I was half expecting as I go in here. I said, it's going to be like a novelty key ring. But there isn't going to be, you know, a belt for when I... But honestly, and I'm leaving the hospital dressed in this fucking stuff. And I was like, Sally, I... And she's like, well,
with your very important books.
What were the books again? There was a Frederick Forsyth. There was a Frederick Forsyth, right?
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure there was it was the United States Annotated History, which was a university textbook, right, that I have. It's like the annotated history of America, but it's a reference book, right? It's not a book. You know? And this thing is like, it's like the encyclopedia, but you know the one your university reading list for your course you have to buy? I've had this book 30 years. It's in the bookcase, but just because it's, you know, it's in the bookcase and it's moved with the bookcase. I was like, what the fuck? Well, I know you like American history. I was like, that's the weirdest fucking thing to jump into your mind.
I remember, like, when I was in, you know, it was during COVID stuff still. So, like, nobody could really come in, and it was all fucking pain in the ass. So, like, the nurse at one point, she was like, you know, would you like something to read? Well, you know, it was like, I mean, if you could give me, like, a copy of the newspaper today and, like, I don't know, sport magazines or something. She's cool. And she came back with like Field and Stream. And I was like, okay, that's probably, I didn't really specify the sport.
Yes. So
that's on me. Dave, I don't know if you could hear there in the background. Now we went through the weekly tornado siren test, which will always never not freak me out. Doesn't matter. Because yesterday at 3 o'clock, as I was saying, it was just like a, you know, kind of a gray, quiet day, wintery, springish day. The tornado siren started suddenly going off.
Okay.
It shocked me because, like, you know, I'm set up to get all the warnings and everything on my phone, and usually know, like, when this kind of stuff is, like last week when I told you guys, hey, we're probably gonna have a tornado, and then you know, there was a tornado.
You kept sending us updates of, like, you know, graphic images of, like, you know, this is the tornado path and your house is like smack dab in the middle. Just
thankfully they did stay south last, but apparently one just randomly touched down yesterday, just about 6 miles northwest of here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like I said, I just assumed that the sirens had gone off by mistake. Mm-hmm. Because there were no tornado warnings issued, and I, you know, nothing looked. But no, it's just, fuck it. We're just having them now, whenever. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm getting a bit fed up with hearing about your tornado warnings, right? Either shut or get off the pot.
No, that's what a watch is, Dave. Warning means that there actually is one.
Yes.
That's what that is.
Yeah, there can't be one, right? Because at no point
that's a watch.
Right.
No,
yes. The watch is like, keep an eye out for it, and then it's like, here we go.
Warning means there is one on the ground somewhere.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, I was reading a great book about the Battle of Hastings, you know, probably the most famous battle in history. And I love this. This is the most British thing ever. Because they were obviously going to land you know, on the coast, obviously, mm-hmm. right, coming by sea. The king at the time, Harold, he'd sent it to the local militias. You all need to watch the beach, though. Got it, beach, right? If you're in Kent beach. Or, you know, you're East Anglia, beach. Got it, beach.
Got it, beach.
But when William the Conqueror, although at that point he wasn't called the Conqueror, that would only be a couple of years later.
It was just William, yeah.
Right.
Actually, he was called William the Bastard, which I fucking love, yes. right? Because,
oh, nice.
What a right bastard.
It's nice that he updated his resume.
Right. No wonder he wanted to change his name, right? You know, you can't blame him, William the Bastard. But
unless you put hard in front of that. Then
but he's gonna land. We've got it right. We have to be there. Yeah, go there every night. So he lands. There's nobody there. Later on, you know, the local militia were asked, why didn't you go? And they went, well, we went twice and he wasn't there, so we figured he wasn't coming.
Right.
That is the most British fucking thing I've ever heard. The other thing, incidentally, about that time, and we underdo this, I'm sure you've heard the story of King Canute.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. The guy with the sea. Which, like all great historical tales, isn't told correctly. He didn't go out there and say, I'm a king, so I'll stop the sea. He was proving to people that he was just a man. But anyway, mm-hmm. his name is Canute, but it isn't. It's cunt spelt slightly wrong.
Yeah.
His name is, and his son's name,
King Cunt ain't got nothing on me. Yeah.
We have a street in our neighborhood. My wife, the first house she bought was just up the road from here, and it's Knudsen, as it's pronounced here, but apparently it is pronounced Knudsen. That's
yeah.
the proper Danish.
Yeah, well, I had a science teacher in middle school called Knudsen. So yeah,
his name is Knut, right? Not Canute. Mm-hmm. We've anglified it because someone, mm-hmm. even back in like the fucking 11th century, went, this is really close to cunt.
It right? really is, yeah.
And they went, what can we do? Would you mind spelling your name? So no, the fucking king. I'm not good. It's Knut, what's wrong with that? Right, well, we're going to say Canute. My name's not fucking
Canute. They invented
Canute.
The long vowel sound and all.
Yeah, see that. But his yes. son was called Harfa Knut, right?
Uh-huh.
Which...
Half a cunt.
Right.
Surely that translates as hard cunt.
Right.
And wouldn't that be the guy you would want to be the king, right? But, hi, I'm King Hard Cunt. You're like, I'm not fucking with him. I'm not even asking how he got that fucking nickname, right? It stands to reason. Not a guy to mess with. Yeah. It's Big Hard Cunt. Right? It's fucking great. But we in Britain have totally shied away from this guy, right? We start our history. We literally do, actually. History in Britain is counted from 1066, right? And I'm sure it's purely because we go...
we can't be teaching that in schools.
Yeah, because there's a guy at school.
You know, at school when you get the dictionary and you're looking up, you know.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. If they're telling you there was a king cunt, all bets are off.
Yeah. There's a guy that plays on Frosinone, frozen yogurt to you guys, Giuseppe Caso, and every time he takes a field, I'm like, that is one letter away and a mispronunciation from being something you do not want to say in Italian. Because if you come, Giuseppe Caso, one thing. Giuseppe Cazzo, well, you're going to get the kids, getting the moms covering the kids' ears. That's.
Yeah. Speaking of covering the kids' ears.
David's 90s film reviews.
Yes.
Well, I was depressed on Saturday night.
Here we go.
I was depressed on Saturday night, so I thought I'm going to need something that's going to cheer me up. So I went for Naked Gun 33.
Beautiful.
33 and a third.
Yep. Naked Gun 33 and a third, right? Mm-hmm. What a fucking great movie. It contains genuinely one of the best scenes that exists in celluloid history, which is when Frank goes to the Doctor on an undercover mission, not realizing that it's a sperm bank. And
right.
As he's walking with the Doctor, he fakes an old football injury, right? So he's got his arm in a sling, and he doesn't realize he's at a sperm bank. So the Doctor says, come with me. When did you first notice the problem? And he said, I think it was probably a couple of weeks ago. I was out in the backyard with my uncle. And she's like, your uncle? He's like, yeah, and we were just throwing it about a bit. But I can't keep up with him. Maybe I yanked it too hard or something. And I swear to God, even on Saturday night when I was, you know, close to, you know, Rampage, it was just such a... And the remake, the reason I bring this up on David's Film Reviews is that they are remaking it with Liam Neeson.
Yes, that's right.
I'm not sure. I will watch it, right? Mm-hmm. And I can see they've at least gone about the right thing by getting somebody who's not known for comedy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
His name kind of reminds you of Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, if you squint. But if he played, that's the whole genius of it, is that you have to play it total, because it's not just him. George Kennedy, who's in the movie, a great actor,
yes,
very, very fine actor, George Kennedy, plays it right down the middle. And because of that, the scenes are absolutely fantastic. The one when Jane and Frank are in this, you remember the Fabulous Baker Boys?
Yeah, of course.
There's kind of pastiche of that. They're in this, you know, almost like club, jazz kind of club, right?
Yeah.
And the piano player, who looks very similar to the guy in Casablanca, he's playing, you know, the smoky noise, and he's like, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Drebin, always good to see nice people in here. And he's playing this beautiful jazz, and they say, hey, Johnny, could you play our song? He says, certainly. The piano goes, ding dong, the witch is dead, the witch is dead. Just so fucking stupid. So I will keep you in touch with the Naked Gun reboot. It's Seth MacFarlane
who's writing
it, and he will treat it with, you know, a bit of reverence.
The question, do you bring back Nordberg? Because I mean, OJ is still out.
Oh yeah, you need to.
The original Nordberg was white. So you can change, you know, but do you retire the character?
you gotta go get Orenthal back. Come on, he's still kicking.
Or you know, jazz it up a little bit. We get Kanye.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. God.
There you are. I think OJ is less offensive at this point.
True, that's true. Speaking of reboots, I don't know if you enjoy the old Fletch series, but the new one with John Hamm, fantastic.
Is it?
Yes, it is great. It's equally funny. I would say funnier in a lot of cases. He nails the character. The dialogue is exactly where you want it to be for a Fletch series. It's great. I have a quick update for you.
Let me play this out. Wait.
Okay.
David's 90s film reviews.
There we go. just to fulfill David's quota for the week.
Right. So I've noticed that David and I deal with grief in two completely different means. I clean the house and watch a Miles Davis documentary.
Damn.
And but then after that, I watched this little televisual feast of the Canadian version of Law & Order, Criminal Intent, Toronto.
Yeah.
Criminal Intent!
Yes. Criminal Intent. So they took that flavor of the franchise, because there's Law & Order regular, there's Law & Order SVU, there's Law & Order Criminal Intent. Criminal Intent, I think, was where D'Onofrio came from. Right.
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
well, not where he came from.
So,
where he is now. Yes.
Where he is now. So, and so they kind of took that template. So they have the guy The detective is played by Aidan Young, who is like the D'Onofrio character, who's the guy that knows everything, right?
Yeah.
The problem is that they gave him this very non-Toronto accent where he literally sounds like, oh, fuck, bud, that's a Picasso you got up there. Funny thing, though, your painting's upside down there. Let me fix that for you. Holy fuck, bud. And so that's amazing. So
he's from upcountry and moved to Toronto. Is that what you're telling me?
Correct. I was interested. This was the first time I got to know that Fillmore's the strip club is now Fillmore's the hotel in Toronto. That's pretty cool. It took two episodes.
No, sorry.
No, go ahead.
There was a strip club called Fillmore.
Yes. Fillmore's Hotel. Yes.
That is the best fucking name for a brothel slash strippers I've ever heard. Fillmore.
Right up there with regularly. Zanzibar and the Brass Rail. Those are the other two.
This is what the night involves.
Right.
It's like naming a bar, very drunk, then vomiting.
Apparently there was not a gentleman's bar, but a bar for gentlemen in the Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco called the White Swallow.
That's quite accurate as well.
So you got the Canadian detective, you got Fillmore, so it's like, oh, that's a hotel now. And I looked it up, sure enough, it's a hotel. It took two episodes for me to find people that I knew. Two. Not just Sean Williams shows up, and then Tennille Reed, who has been in my house in Toronto when I was doing the podcast. They do have one problem.
How's the captain?
Oh, fine.
Yeah, just
with Tennille
showing up.
Oh, Tennille Reed. Okay, yeah. Jesus. I thought you meant like the actual detective.
That was a great joke. That was a fucking hilarious 70s pop rock joke.
Yeah, be careful with that one, folks. It's an antique.
How old? You didn't fucking know it.
That's fine. You know what? When we're doing the debrief of this episode, I will be kicking myself going, God, I can't believe I didn't pick up a Captain and Tennille reference.
One for the kids.
Yeah, one for the kids. tell your parents to ask their parents to ask their parents who Captain and Tennille is. But I will say one thing. They do need to get a dialect coach, and it's not for the detective, because they're questioning this woman who has lived in Toronto all of her life, and she's trying to flee the city. It's like, no, but my boyfriend said we had to leave Toronto. I was like, fuck off, get out. That is not how you pronounce it. There is one T in Toronto, and it's barely a T. It's even Toronto, and that's it. Toronto. That is it.
It's Toronto.
Moscow. There you go.
Tennille.
Are there any places in the US that I call it Toronto because we speak properly here. It's our language.
You live there, you get it.
Right. And also that we forced it upon you. But you do get, you know, slightly, like over here, that Ayrshire, where I live, believe it or not, despite being incredibly staunch, was also very sort of red politically throughout, you know, the 20th century. It was lit up. It was very, you know, trade union-y. There was a lot of mining in the community. And the councillors that were elected were, you know, basically communists, right? in Kilwinning, there is a Gagarin Terrace, which is named after the cosmonaut.
Yuri?
Gagarin Terrace, which I just find... I'm sure when he was going into space, if he'd known that one day a small cul-de-sac in North Ayrshire would be named after the danger would have seemed like... But there's also a place near here called Moscow. Right, it's a tiny little hamlet, and obviously when the council were trying to annoy the government here back in the 50s, they decided they would name it Moscow. But of course, Ayrshire people being quite literal sorts, you know, they're very much a spade, it is to this day referred to by locals down here as Moscow.
Beautiful. Right?
And you're like, and I said at one point to someone, I was like, we were driving, you know, that pub that's near Moscow. Moscow, what, in Russia? I was like, well, no, the one 8 miles down the road. And he's like, no, I don't. I was like, Moscow. And he's like, "Aye, in Russia?" I'm like, "No, that place." And he's like, "Oh, Moscow." Oh, it's not Moscow.
Right. To be fair, it should be Moscow.
Aye, well, too. You know, the you are aware of Moscow because clearly he's like the place in Russia. But
right.
Locals down here, and then if you point it to them, they say, "I think you'll find." Maybe because it's the use in the, you know, who am I to change it now by turning up here with my ability to speak and
right.
trying to correct people? And then this is why people around here think I'm stuck up. That genuinely is because I occasionally allow a G to hang at the end of a sentence. And,
right.
You know, and
you
know,
dangle your G's?
Sometimes I like a little G on the west side, yeah. I used to get a few deliveries of G's back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, good. This will be some good dangling later, this G pickup.
Two or three a week, in fact, and very pleasant those afternoons. Well.
Oh, many's a G that I dangle from the window.
Yeah, you know, I just the pronunciations that people can come up with. But
well, I mean, we have some like Des Moines. Des Moines is, of course, the capital of Iowa, whereas Des Plaines is a city outside of Chicago. Like, it's right. You know, yeah, mm-hmm. It's
I remember when it was called Sault Ste. Marie. You know?
I'm just very glad that we don't take French seriously in this part of the country, because it's not a very serious language whatsoever.
I got a row from a teacher at school, and I'm still bitter about this, right? Because we were reading Shane. Mm-hmm. That's what we were reading.
Oh, the book, Shane. Yeah.
The book Shane, yeah. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. No, we weren't reading him. He wasn't there being, you know. I don't even
think we're at the part where he's caught in the bear trap again.
Yeah. I don't even think he was alive at this point, because I was only about 6 or 7.
I'm not convinced I'm alive right now. So
that's, the jury's out.
My granddad was a huge Western fan, like a lot of people that age, John Wayne, you know, they grew up with, and that was the hero. So I'd watch a lot of them with him. And the teacher was reading, and she went, "Arkansas." And I went,
yeah, and Kansas.
And I went, it's Arkansas. And she said, "I don't think it is." I was like, "It is, it's Arkansas." And she's like, "Do you want to come up here and I'll show?" And she wrote up on the board, "Arkansas." And she went, "Arkansas." I went, "I know, but yes. The people in the movies who I think might know a bit more about it than we do, seeing we have never been out of this fucking tiny town in the middle of nowhere." And I'm like 7 and going, "What is the world mental?" And I got sent to the fucking headmaster, who was a lovely man, and he went, "Just ignore her."
She teaching you the states again?
Yeah, she's like, he knew, right? He knew. And he's like, "Just don't." He said, "Just tell her."
Illinois.
Illinois, yep.
Come on, feel the Illinois.
Right. Which Dakota do you like? I like the North Dakota.
Catalina. Oh,
God.
I was rewatching. I finally got to sit down and see if it held up, and it still does. My favorite Judd Nelson movie of all time, not Breakfast Club, it's From the Hip, where he plays a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
And John Hurt plays the villain, and it's his last name, as a British professor would be, is Benoit, which you would all expect to be, as they said it, Mr. Benoit.
No! Oh.
Through the entire film.
What I find, see when people do fuck things up slightly by just even mispronounce, or like you're putting the stress in the wrong word. I went to this presentation years ago, a web thing. And the woman kept referring to, and we have adverts, of course, on Yahoo. And I'm like, "What?" And she went, it's on yahoo.com. And I was like, I genuinely didn't click. And she went, "Yahoo." And she showed me the logo. I went, "Oh, Yahoo." And I thought, "Am I wrong?" And I've asked people, and nobody has ever. And the other one she said was eBay. And I was like, eBay? That's not
easy. Oh, so she was just putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
The emphasis in the wrong, but
she would have gotten the pronunciation if she looked it up on Ask Jevez.
Yes. So. No, it just, but it's amazing how it totally threw me for a loop. It was like, "Yes, it's on yahoo.com. That's not the word, right? You're putting, there is no stress on that H.
Is that what it is?
Nobody has ever done this. Yes. Googly.
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 Michael Googly is my favorite Canadian singer. I got it. Good for it.
You know, but we should all start doing this. It would make life a bit more interesting. Like say,
Rangers.
I think we should change the
Roger.
I think we should change the downstairs wallpaper and see what comes of that. Just fucking nonsense. But it's also like James Tavernier. Tavernier. He pronounces his own name wrongly, and you've got to go with it, right? But it is Tavernier. That is what his name is. It's just you've got to go with how he wants to do it. It's his name, but his name is Tavernier. That's
right.
That's where it cut. It's French.
It's spelled Tavernier, but it's pronounced hard canut.
Hard canut, yes.
All right, let's get the onion done because the voice is starting to roll out here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's almost back, but it's still working. It's working.
It's getting down.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sphere refuses to release U2 despite band fulfilling terms of residency.
Beautiful.
I'd be happy if the Sphere ate U2, to be honest. Much. That would be fine.
But it would still spit out Adam Clayton.
Like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. From the Reductress, backless gowns that'll make him say, "We should biopsy this one just in case." And this one, as soon as I saw it from The Onion, I just thought of David. Woman could listen to British guy scream for help all day.
There are a couple of Onion ones I liked this week, which was... Study finds people most confident when unaware they're fly undone.
Yeah.
And I thought you might like this one. Trump scared to check credit score.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go along the lines of the classic, why do all these homosexuals keep sucking my cock? Conservative worried government coming to take his hard-earned genitals.
This one hits a little close to home for me. High school reunion attendees catch up on each other's DUIs.
And I didn't know I was in The Onion this week, but apparently I am with this one, which is man prepared to accept burden of being only person who knows how world works.
Oh, fuck. All right, that'll do it. Yeah, I don't know. Lots of football. Hopefully another good week. I mean, well, you know, better than last week. But I guess, I don't know. You know, I mean, if we get something on Thursday, I'll be happy. Obviously, the weekend probably ultimately a little bit more important to us, I would say.
Yeah, I think it
is. The treble's still realistic. The quadruple's just, well, that'd just be fantasy land nonsense that we would all love to
know
when. So.
No, I'm done.
I'm free to go as far as I'm concerned.
I'm looking for. I get to see the eagle, the Benfica eagle that lives at the stadium.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I'll get to see that. But I'm like you, Shane. Keep it alive for the following week. But Sunday's the big one for me too.
No. So yeah. Anyway, David, of course, you can find all the stuff leading up to this. Look, if you want to know about the football itself, you go listen to Heart and Hand. You go listen to David over there. So thank you, David.
Yes.
Pleasure. I'll be back here next week because it's Thursday, obviously, again. So Tuesday, we're all good. So speak to
This is what we were saying. Like, we had to get through the winter of, you know, the SPFL just moving matches around for no fucking reason. Mm. Instead of just having football on the weekend and Thursdays, like, you know, would make sense. Fuck up our Tuesdays, you motherfuckers.
Yeah,
Todd, of course, you can find... No, there's not. Yeah. Look, our schedule comes first. Todd, you can find all his stuff at HatesTVA.com. You can find him on Twitter at HatesTVA. Thanks, Todd.
Yep, you got it.
Anything you just did write him up. You got anything?
I just did write him up, and now I'm exhausted, so no, I got nothing. What do you people want?
Todd's on vacation for the next few weeks, so fucking leave him alone.
Exactly. You'll see me at open mics going, is this fucking work? No. Okay, next one.
You sound like me all of a sudden.
Yeah, because two acts.
All right, if you go to the football, be safe. We'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
He can't be fucking serious at all.